Pre-harvest effects on post-harvest quality of spring-planted day-neutral strawberries in high tunnel systems.
Hi, my name is Kelly Goody, and I am from Kansas State University. And these trials took place in 2014 and 2015 near Kansas City. So high tunnel production in our area in specific has been utilized in the recent years. Almost 82% of local growers have high tunnels on their farms, and then the small proportion, around 18%, are planning for future adoption of the high tunnel system. High tunnels are widely utilized in the area because they can extend the season very well, as we all probably know. They provide environmental protection, and they do this by even light distribution and then the overhead plastic. Strawberry production within a high tunnel system is because strawberries are a highly sensitive crop that are prone to outside damage, growing them within a high tunnel has shown very good results as far as their yield. You can see that in this bottom graphic here, showing the difference between high tunnel production and open field production. However, within our area in specific, we don't grow many strawberries. The strawberries that are grown mostly in the central U.S. are in an open field system, and it's mostly June-bearing type cultivars. However, growers and potential local buyers have cited strawberries and melons are the only two fruit crops that are of future interest to increase production within our area in near Kansas City. And so in order to address high tunnel, or in order to address strawberry production in our area within a high tunnel system, we have to look at three factors that affect quality of strawberries. And we commonly see June-bearing strawberries in the area because they have a high production period that is in June, and it's right before the high summer temperatures of July and August. And temperatures are very prone to damage because of their porous nature, and temperatures over 85 degrees, you see a loss of nutrient uptake in strawberries and a decrease in plant growth. So temperature is obviously the number one component in all post-harvest and pre-harvest quality factors. However, sunlight and irrigation also play a key role as well. In order to address these temperatures within a high tunnel system, we have seen the use of shade cloth in order to reduce sun exposure, as well as introducing an evaporative cooling system. And the white graphic right there, you can see the evaporative cooling overhead misting system, and it works by cooling the internal temperature of strawberries. However, this system is used mostly right now during plant establishment in the beginning parts of the strawberry life, and not throughout the entire production period. However, it's shown to reduce certain pest presence and mold presence in some studies in California. So we want to, as a solution, to reduce the temperatures within a high tunnel system and with the use of day-neutral cultivars, we need to reduce the temperatures throughout those July and August periods within our area in the U.S. And so we need to know a couple things. We needed to see if it was a feasible system, if this was something that was going to provide growers profit that they needed with this late season production. And we needed to see which cultivar was going to provide the highest yields and high marketability, as well as the at-harvest and post-harvest quality of the cultivars that were used. So here you can see the experimental design, and it was the main plots are with and without evaporative cooling, and then the six subplots within the main plots are the six different cultivars that we used, which were Albion, EB2, Monterey, Portola, San Andreas, and Seascape, and those are all commercial cultivars that are used highly for day-neutral production. Here you can see in these photos the preparation of the high tunnel, the laying of fertigation and the irrigation system here, as well as the high tunnel plastic put on top, and the planting of the strawberry bare root plants. And then you can see here the 2014 and 2015 planting and harvest periods. So the harvest periods for these day-neutral cultivars were over a six-month period. A lot of fun harvesting strawberries for 6 months. This is a busy graphic, but I'm just showing it to you so you can see. This is the overall total fruit production, and you can see how it fluctuates throughout the season. And so we were able to split it up into three times of high yielding in early, mid, and late season. And this is the 2014 graphic here. However, when I refer to the early, mid, and late season, these are the seasons I'm referring to. And they were all around 7 to 8 weeks long. So we harvested 1 to 2 times a week and brought them into the lab 4 times a year for analysis at harvest and post-harvest, and assess the nutritional quality as well as the regular post-harvest quality measurements. And on the bottom right side of the screen is just an overall visual quality that we did throughout the storage period, and started out of 5, moving to once 30% fell below 2.5, we considered it unmarketable. So here in the results of the yield and marketability, we'll look at the total fruit weight and marketable fruit weight. And these are the 6 cultivars throughout 2014 and 2015. And you can see that Portola and EV2 were strong, high-yielding cultivars, both production years, whereas Seascape was also a high-yielding cultivar in 2014. And the average fruit size was also similar between 2014 and 2015, with the largest fruits being Portola and San Andreas, both production years, with also a large Albion fruit in 2014. And the marketability by weight and number was also similar between years and cultivar. You can see that of all the cultivars used, pretty much they were all maintained high marketability, with the exception of EV2. And overall, Portola was the winner as far as weight, size, and marketability for both growing years. This is comparing the early, mid, and late season yields. Looking at the total fruit weight was highest during the mid-season for both 2014 and 2015 of all the cultivars combined. And for size, total size in both 2014 and 2015, the largest fruit size is seen in the early season, whereas the marketability was highest in mid-season, with also a high percentage in late season as well. And now moving on to the at-harvest quality parameters of antioxidants and total phenolics. You can see here, using ORIC and FRAP, that EV2 and Seascape had high ORIC levels. However, all cultivars fell within suitable antioxidant levels for ORIC. And FRAP, all cultivars were similar and not significantly different. Whereas total phenolics was pretty similar, with slightly lower total phenolic levels of Portola and Seascape. The soluble solids content, titratable acidity, and the ratio of degree bricks to percent titratable acidity is shown here. And all cultivars besides EV2 and Portola maintain high degree bricks content at harvest. And the titratable acidity is not very different between all because there's only about 1% of strawberry or of acid in strawberries. However, looking at the ratio difference, you can see here that Albion Monterey and San Andreas maintain high flavor profile at the day of harvest. The firmness shown here throughout the 8-day storage period is shown here. And the two cultivars on the bottom are EV2 and Seascape. And they were typically had a softer flesh both production years was observed. And also, but it was good to see that they were able to maintain their firmness with just a slight lowering throughout the storage period. The color index, redness and lightness scale are shown here. A is redness and then lightness is L, obviously. And on the left, the Albion and Monterey cultivars are the two that are below, as well as in the lightness. And these were the two cultivars that had a darker flesh, and they were also the two cultivars that were sweeter. So that was anticipated. And the throughout storage, the cultivars had a slight decrease and they all darkened throughout storage. Looking at the moisture loss and respiration rate, the moisture loss of EV2 and Seascape was highest, and so that's predicted that they would be the ones that would respire at a higher rate, which we saw with Seascape. And that was also seen in the overall visual quality. The two that fell below the 2.5 mark the quickest were EV2 and Seascape. You can see them here about a day before the others, or a day and a half. In conclusion, going back to the three main objectives of feasibility, we decided that growing spring-planted day-neutral cultivars within a high tunnel system is profitable, could be profitable for growers on the basis of yield and size that are normally accepted for day-neutral cultivars. However, regarding yield and marketability with and without evaporative cooling, we did not see any impacts, positive or negative, regarding evaporative cooling, and so future controlled studies will need to be addressing that. The plots, the champion cultivar, as regarding yield, was Portola and EV2. However, we saw EV2 wasn't able to maintain its quality throughout storage. So Portola was our champion cultivar. And mid-season had the highest total fruit weight. And early season had the highest total fruit average size. However, regarding the at-harvest and post-harvest quality, we were happy to see that of the 6-day neutral cultivars, that they were able to last 7 to 8 days throughout storage. The two cultivars that were darkest and had highest sugar or soluble solids content were the Monterey and Albion cultivars. But for physical quality and those that lasted well throughout storage, all of our cultivars lasted well, with the exception of EV2 and Seascape. I would like to acknowledge the initiative, the National Strawberry Sustainability Initiative, that gave funding to the first year of this project, as well as everyone else that helped me along the way. Okay, thank you. And any questions? No idea. I would assume no, but she's shaking her head. Yes.
I would put it this way. Yes, it's been tried. Doesn't work now.
Okay. They don't apply anything to strawberries.
Yeah, you know why? Anything you apply to them makes them work.
Yeah.
Can you tell these berries
hope so. I thought anything less than 8 grams was a toss.
It's different in Kansas City. No, I'm kidding.